Welcome back to Legend in the Field podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Landmark, and we're on episode number 8 of this wonderful podcast. And today we're going to be talking about something that kind of hits home for every dealer, farmer, grower, and even every business owner, which is controlling your bottom line. Sometimes that can be kind of scary thing to talk about, and especially this time of year as harvest has started, kind of, you know, you're deciding whether to sell, whether you're to delay price, you're putting it in a bin, whatever you're dealing with right now, or whether you're running a seed dealership, you're selling biologicals, you're managing your farm, knowing where your dollars go and how to make them go farther is obviously the key to staying profitable, to staying out of the red and in the green. So I want to welcome two special people, Stacy Stanton. He is the Legend Seed CFO based out of DeSmet. And then Chris Graff joins us from the Investor Solutions team. He's the sales manager, and he graces our presence over in Minnesota. So welcome to Legend of the Field, guys. It's great to have you. Start with Stacy. Welcome.
Thanks, Shelby. Glad to be here.
And then, yeah. And then Chris, you hail from, remind me exactly the town.
Glencoe, Minnesota. 45 minutes straight west of the Twin Cities.
And I can't even tell you have an accent, so no one would know you're Minnesota man.
No, I'm not like the movie Fargo quite yet, but I'm sure other people feel that.
So I love having you guys introduce yourselves. So Stacy, I just want to quick get your Legend story, a little bit about yourself, and how'd you get to being where you're at today at Legend?
Sure. So thank you, Shelby. I've been with Legend for about 10 and a half years. My Legend story goes a little further than that, back than that, though. My oldest daughter, my wife, Sarah, and I, our oldest daughter was involved in competitive cheer, and she was on a team with our current CEO, former president, Tim Bratland, and his wife, Holly, their daughter. So through volunteer work and cheer competition weekends and things like that, Tim and I got to talking, found out that I was in accounting at a public CPA firm for 15 years. And at the time, their CFO at Legend was looking at retiring in a few years. And Tim's like, hey, you ever think about working for a seed company? So through chats at that, Tim convinced me to come down and meet with himself and our chairman of the board, Glenn Davis, and ask if I would be willing to drive 60 miles from Watertown down to DeSmet to be the controller and potentially become the CFO. I was with Legend for about 5 months, and Dennis, who was the CFO at the time, said, I'm retiring on January 1st. So hit the ground running with Legend about 10 and a half years ago, and it's kind of my background with Legend.
Very cool. Well, we're happy to have you. I know you've been here since I've been here too, and it's been great working with you. And Chris, you have been with Legend Seeds and now Yieldmaster Solutions. So kind of give us your little backstory of who you are and how you got to be where you are.
Yeah. So I've had the unique opportunity to work on both sides of the business. So with the Yieldmaster Solutions side, I've been with them for about 6 months now, roughly, helping with the sales lead, sales management side of the business, and just really trying to help mend that relationship between our Legend Seed dealers and our Yieldmaster Solution side of the business. How can we grow that business? What programs can we do? What sales initiatives can we do to really push that YMS business or Yieldmaster Solutions biological business through our Legend footprint? And I think with my history of being on the Legend side, so I started in 21 with Legend as an account manager. So boots on the ground, kind of helping manage dealers, helping grow their business, putting business plans, you know, your traditional district sales manager type of role. And then I transitioned into a regional sales manager for the Legend side. So I got to see more of the upper management side of things, you know, helping with the account managers and helping grow their business. So I've kind of taken the step through the journey through the boots on the ground up to the management side. And now on the Yieldmaster Solutions side, I can kind of bring that all together. I can help with our legend dealers, and I kind of know what their pain points are. I know what they needed back in the day when I was account manager, so I can help bring that to light now on the YMS side. So it's been a great journey to kind of see both sides, and I feel like that's really helped me with when I sit down with a legend dealer to understand their business, which is what we'll talk about today, probably just a little bit about how do they understand their bottom line and how do they know where their dollars are going and where to best spend their dollar. So it's been good to have that experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are so many moving parts to a dealership or a farm operation. And to be honest about it, it's scary. And I could say that as an owner operator, but also working within the seed industry as well. There's large costs. There's very large checks that get paid. There are very large bills that get sent in the mail, but those bills have to be paid and those things have to be purchased to be able to operate. I mean, on a regular basis throughout the year. So I guess, Chris, we'll start with you with the first question. What are those biggest costs? What are kind of those high level, you put those in the budget first when you're going through your yearly balance sheet, where should the operator begin when they're really starting to think of those highest checks that they have to be writing throughout the year?
Yeah, I'm going to break it out into two segments, one to the grower level and then one more at a dealership, just because we work with both. We work with the dealer and we'd also work all the way down to the grower level. So at a farmer grower level, I think it's your land and your rent. I mean, those are some large decisions that they have to make every year. Do I want to rent more land? Do I want to cut back? How much inputs do I want to put into a rented acre? Do I want to fertilize? Do I want to cut back on my rented acres because I don't know if I'm going to have it next year and I don't want to put a bunch of extra fertilizer out on some acres that I might not have next year? So just like you said, there's a lot of decisions that they have to make outside of the seed decision or outside of the biological decision. And we think a lot about like, hey, let's just get on the farm and get their seed order. But we forget that they also have 100 other decisions that they have to make. So we have [S2] Yep. [S1] To be cautious of that when we're going out to ask for an order. Another big one is obviously equipment management or maintenance. I mean, just think of the size of the equipment nowadays and what it takes to operate that between fuel, the labor to run it. And then at the end of the day, you got to maintenance that, and if you don't maintenance your equipment, there's repercussions to that. And the last thing you want to do is break down in the middle of a field and have to worry about that. And, there's weekend rates for techs and service to come out. And so you want to be on top of your maintenance, but that all costs money, so you gotta budget for all that. So on the farmer side, I think it's, your land, your rent, your seed, fertilizer, equipment maintenance, fuel, and then labor. Do you have family that works on the farm, or do you have to hire third party or outside of your own family to come work on the farm? And that may adjust what you have to pay them, whether it's a grandkid or a son working versus somebody like an actual labor coming in to work for you. So on the dealer side, I think it comes down to just inventory and facility overhead, marketing, logistics, those kind of more business costs. But a lot of our dealers are also farmers. So now think about that. They have all of those first costs on top of all their dealer costs. So we wonder sometimes when we go to sit down with a dealer why they're a little stressed if they're also farming and they're a farmer dealer, because they now have all those original pain points or costs on top of what I just said, your inventory, your staffing, your facility overhead, your marketing, when's the seed going to be here? Am I going to have it in time for planting? All those logistics concerns. So, yeah, there's definitely a lot to it. I mean, I think the people looking from the outside are like, oh, that's pretty easy. I'll start a seed dealer. That can't be that difficult. But when you really start thinking about what it takes to run a business and in this day and age, it's not easy.
No, absolutely not. Especially with farming. I mean, the amount of money that it costs to run an operation to plant the crop, to harvest the crop, to, if you do have the ability to spray and take care of your chem and fertilizer applications yourself, that's a whole nother expense. And kind of one of the questions as I'm thinking here too, Stacy, this is going to be kind of your area of expertise too, would be those, the financing. So obviously there's a lot of farm loan options out there. There's equipment options, there's operating loans, there's all kinds of options within dealership businesses or farm operation businesses. But on your side of it, as a CFO, just kind of big picture, what is the value of financing though? What is the value of being able to schedule out payments so that you don't feel so overwhelmed with one big payment? Can you kind of just give us like a high level insight into that?
Sure. Like you mentioned, there's quite a few options out there. You know, there's always your operating loan at your bank, you know, and that's, I know that can be a stressful time trying to work with your banker. The ag industry, as we know, is very, I'm going to say volatile or very uncertain. It's one of the industries you don't really know what your outcome is going to be because of things like weather, you know. So yep. I know that's very stressful, but you've got, you know, working with your bank with the operating loan. And I think having that relationship with your banker helps. You know, if you've been through the process, especially looking at somebody that's going through this the first time versus somebody that's been going through this, say their 10th or 15th year in farming, you know what the bank's looking for, you know what the bank's expectations are, you have that relationship. So I think that's very important. You also have opportunities. John Deere financing is one of them. They're more than willing to take an unsecured position, meaning they're willing to finance things like seed. And then Shelby, you touched on it with equipment loan programs. I think it's just a matter of, you know, Chris mentioned earlier about being overwhelming. It's just a matter of looking at the different options and seeing what's available and what works the best for you, because to look into these things, you're never obligated to actually sign the loan, but it gives you the options to look at it. And I think from my seat, especially too, being the CFO of a company, knowing that I have those funds available and not having to worry about that is a big relief.
Yep. Exactly.
If you're able to, it's always better to cash. If you can pay things with cash, that's always better. But, you know, I didn't grow up on a farm, but I grew up in a small community, 400 people. And you looked out my backyard, half of it was a horse pasture and the other half was corn and beans every other year. So I've been, grew up in an egg community, and I grew up in an egg community back when savings and loan banks were out there. And there was a lot of volatility, a lot of low commodity prices in the farming market. So I think it's just a matter of just looking at all your options and, like Chris said, managing your farm, sitting down and putting those on paper and seeing what the options are out there. So
yeah. And Chris, did you have anything to add to that?
No, I think, you know, he kind of hit it on the head with the 0% financing, but also cash is king, you know. So I think if you can take advantage of some of your dealer or like with Legend, some of our 0% financing and defer that to the fall, you're always going to be a little easier going and a little less stress when you have to write that check. If hopefully you kind of know what that crop has done, if it's on the biological side, you know, if it's made an impact and what that bushel difference is. So it makes it a little easier to write that check when you see some positive results in the fall.
Yeah, absolutely. And that does kind of put me into, I'm going to kind of move. We as a company, but all seed companies have early pay discounts, and we all are aware of it. We all hear the spiel, you know, that there's this available by this much time, you get this much percent off if you pay by this time, but are they really worth it? I guess I kind of just want to hear from both your perspectives. Do they affect that bottom line? And it's kind of scary right away, especially when you don't have anything harvested yet, to purchase seed or to say, I'm going to buy this much seed because I want that cash discount. But is it really worth it? I just kind of want to hear both your perspectives from the business side and Chris, from your side as a producer, because it is scary. And I'll say that personally, that yeah, we want to secure a discount, but it's a little bit intimidating to say that before we know how much we're going to get out of the field this year. So yep. Chris, I'll have you go first on that.
Yeah, I guess I'll break it out again from kind of the boots on the ground or the grower side of the business up to the dealer. But yes, it does matter. I mean, it actually probably is more important when margins are tight like they are, because if you think 10% early cash, I mean, you take $50,000 in seed, that's $5,000 saved. So, I mean, that's a big difference. If you, I get it, you have to make a commitment early. But most seed companies are willing to put an order together, lock up some funds, and then fine tune that throughout the season. Just because you place an order and give us your check in September, or October, November, that doesn't mean that that's the seed order that you have to stick with. So, I mean, I really encourage guys to put that tentative kind of base order together and send some dollars in, because again, like I said, 10% on even a $50,000 seed order, that's $5,000 saved. So I mean, I know it's a risk because you don't know exactly what that yield's gonna be, but you know, you just make an adjustment once you get to yield. You know, if there's a hybrid that you had on order or a variety that you had on order, and maybe it didn't fare so well on certain ground or a certain acre, we can fine tune that once we see those numbers. You're not locked into anything. So on the dealer side, I think the power of paying early, you know, so say a dealer gets 8%, you pass 4% on, you keep 4%. I mean, that's a win-win for both sides. So rather than waiting until spring when maybe the cash discounts have exhausted themselves, or maybe they're down at that 4%, and all of a sudden you have to try to find a way to divide that in half, and then all of a sudden you're at 2 to the grower and 2 to yourself, or maybe 3 for yourself and 1 to the grower, and it makes it really hard to be competitive with the competing seed dealers in the area, because if they had any type of an early cash and the dealer down the road took advantage of that, you didn't, you're going to be up against that all selling season. And so taking advantage of those early cash discounts, whether it's going to the bank and getting some type of a loan to secure those early discounts. We've had some dealers that have done that in the past, and they've done really well with it. They've actually grown their business. And yes, it's scary, like you said, Shelby, but sometimes, you know, the old saying of you got to spend money to make money, I think sometimes that holds true in this business, because it's such a fierce competitive market that any little edge you can have over the dealer down the road is going to separate you come spring.
Yeah, and I'll just add on to what Chris said too, is, you know, one of the things we have right now is the 0% interest till December of 2026. So you can take advantage of some of the discounts that are being offered with finance money through First Mid Bank or John Deere Finance, and those payments aren't due until December of 2026. So you're in essence getting 14 months right now, because we're in October, of interest-free loan on that by going through John Deere or First Mid. And to Chris's point, you're right, with the dealer, if you take advantage of some of these earlier cash discounts and manage your dealership and factor in a little bit of growth for in-season sales by paying for that seed now and taking advantage of the cash discount, you've established what your cost is. So when you get to April, May, when we're doing in-season sales, you know, and a lot of companies out there are at full retail, you as a dealer have already set your price by purchasing that seed early, so you can maybe offer a bit of a discount to an in-season sale and help grow your business.
Mm-hmm. So it's a trickle-down effect, essentially.
Exactly.
A good one, I should say. That, I mean, those discounts are there to help. I mean, and Stacy, you could maybe give a little bit more insight, is when you're in those conversations, when those prices are being set, when those decisions are being made as a company to be successful. And we strive ourselves as Legend as a company to say, you know, when we are success, when you're successful, we're successful. So the farmer and the grower, and the dealers are the ones who are thinking of first so that they can make money and be successful. So can you kind of go into a little bit of that process of deciding where those prices come from and how those are decided as a company?
So typically a company looks at what their needs are. And again, taking advantage of discounts that are offered to us. So that's where it starts off with as Legend. So we look at what opportunity is out there for us to lower our cost. So we can in turn pass a lower cost down to our dealer, who can pass that down to their grower. So it really starts with us sitting down for the year and looking at what our providers, our vendors and suppliers are offering to us through their discounts, and how we can do and best maximize what our cost is. Because once we can establish that, then that's the price that goes down to the dealer. And then we establish a cash discount or a discount offering to our dealers, so they can establish based off of our retail what their price is going to be. So they know what their cost into it is. And that's what they in turn go out to their customers or farmer growers and say, this is what I can sell you the seed for. And like Chris said, there's a lot of discount availability where, you know, you have a 10% cash discount, dealer keeps 5%, passes 5% on to the farmer grower. So that's basically where it all starts. And I've always said, the discounts are offered early, so you can maximize what your best prices or your best cost to purchase something. And that's the same with almost any industry, even on our side. The earlier we pay for the products that we buy, the better cash discount we get as well.
Absolutely. And that comes down to the factor of new products coming into the lineup, and then the products that we've had for a long time, and the pricing around those, it differs slightly, but majority of new products, whether it's seed or biologicals, I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into those. So that comes into my next question. When looking at new seed or biological products, deciding whether they're actually worth the investment, especially when it comes to adding in biologicals, because Chris, you could kind of touch on this, how quickly biological products have come into the marketplace in just the last year, that they're constantly changing because there's all kinds of science behind what's happening in the plants out in the field. But high level, how are you as a business owner really capitalizing on those products and how they work to benefit your harvest at the end? I mean, what are you really looking at for those products, and how do you decide if they're worth it?
Yeah. So from like a sales manager side, just kind of a little plug for Yieldmaster Solutions. So, you know, we don't manufacture any of our own technology. So unique thing about us is we can kind of cherry pick from different manufacturers. And then we do what they call a proof of concept trial, where we trial these products for a year, sometimes two, maybe even 3 years before it comes into our portfolio. So by the time we release it, we have a pretty darn good idea on what the ROI is. Does it work? What acres does it work on? You know, what kind of management does it need? What kind of storage and handling does it need? Above and beyond the manufacturer's recommendation, we have some like real life data. And so I think that really helps us when you come to one of our dealers, or you come to Yieldmaster Solutions or Legend and say, hey, I want to try biologicals. What should I look for? Number one is we want to have a lot of local data, because if you're a central Minnesota farmer and all I can show you is Michigan data, that isn't real relevant. So we try to really pride ourselves in having local data. So a lot of our proof of concept trials are done at our Legend dealer plots. They're done at our knowledge plots, and it really helps us separate ourselves from the competitor. But what we're really looking for is ROI. So, I mean, if a biological is telling you 5 bushel increase on corn and that product costs you $12 roughly, if corn is at $4, $4.50, we're just going to use some better pricing, but you know, that's $22 return. So that's 2 times in ROI. So you really got to look at those ROI calculators that a lot of our dealers have in their disposal. And just, you know, a one or, you know, a 2 to 3 times ROI. I mean, you really got to put that into perspective when margins are tight like this. If I came to you and said, hey, I can turn your dollar into $2, 75% of the time. I mean, if you're in Vegas, that's a pretty good odd. I would take that all day long. So, and you know, we're not just taking the, like I said before, the manufacturer's data. We're making this real life scenarios on farm with Legend dealers. So our data, I feel, is a little bit more tried and true. And so I really feel that's what separates Legend dealers or Yieldmaster Solutions from our competitor is them proof of concept trials. And I mean, I think we talk about it every one of our dealer meetings and our customer meetings on how we do that. But I don't know that everyone has a grasp on what that means to the grower to have that real life local data.
And that's where it gets fuzzy. Like you said, like down to the grower level or down to the, you know, even the dealer level. It's just you immediately see a salesperson drive down your driveway and you're like, all I want to do is sell me something.
Yep.
So really coming prepared with questions though, on as the grower dealer, I should say, coming with questions instead of just dismissing the conversation about new products is what I think happens a lot. It's a busy time. I understand, especially right now, no farmer who grows corn, soybeans wants to talk about writing a check for anything else right now. So I know it's a stressful time right now, but really honing in on figuring out that bottom line, like you said, all of those factors that come into your operation. If you do use storage, what do you need your moisture to be at this time of the year? And how, and that's just a very small example, but just all those factors coming into it. So Stacy, do you have anything to add on that? Just, I know it's more of the seed, but when it comes to paying for those products, what's kind of the things you think that maybe goes through those minds of, should we be spending the money? And maybe that comes back into your previous life and maybe working with the accounting side of it, I should say. This is a long-winded question, I apologize. But
sorry.
I'm just thinking of when it comes to tax time and you're really looking at, okay, here's how much money we made last year, but here's how much we spent. And some of that money that needs to be spent should be on, like Chris had mentioned earlier when we talked about equipment, or really taking care of that equipment and paying for a new tarp on your semi, you're buying a new semi, you're getting an updated tractor, you know, those give and takes of tax time. As we farmers, or some people make fun of farmers by saying, well, it's just a tax write-off. And if you both know, I'm probably using my fingers as air quotes. And really just kind of explaining that process a little bit. When you do buy more seed, when you essentially when you spend money, I should say, Stacy, is that a thing? Can you explain that
a little bit? It is. You know, we sat down and you'd sit down with a farmer and you'd evaluate, you know, where their income is for the year and what their expenses are. And especially at this time of the year, you get into October, November, it's year-end tax planning. Knowing where your tax bill is going to be on January 1st, you know, and I think it's kind of a loaded question because it all depends on the individual themselves, because there are some that don't want to pay any taxes. I want to write off everything I possibly can. I want to buy what I can if I have to prepay to get my tax bill down. But there's also some that, you know, and I think a more conservative approach is you look at how the tax brackets are and you've got like a 10% tax bracket or the 15% tax bracket, the lowest tax brackets. If you pay in a little bit of taxes, it also goes to like thinking big picture in the future, because that would also be like your contribution to Social Security and Medicare. So, you know, you've got farmers out there for their entire life that have always got their tax bill down to nothing, so I didn't pay anything. Well, you're not going to be able to draw Social Security and Medicare when you're older in life either. So there's a lot of factors that go into that. Like you said, it's just a matter of, you know, people look at it like, oh, it's a tax write-off. Yeah, it is. But it's still cash coming out of your pocket. And yeah, I think that's the side as a business owner and not understanding finance. That's the part that people with their perception miss, is that, yes, I go out and I buy a new tractor. It's a tax write-off. But guess what? I still had to pay for that. So now you've got to think about, well, can I pay for part of it up front and finance it? And what's the interest rate on that? And what's that going to cost me down the road? So, you know, there are a lot of different factors, Shelby, that goes in with this one, because it's a pretty loaded question and it could take us a while to go through every scenario on there. But I think, again, it all comes down to like an individual choice, because with farmers out there that have used tried and true products, and, you know, like when we go through the selection committee here at Legend, they try to bring on new products that are either higher yielding, or they're disease resistant, or have some factor that it's a better product than the other product. But I've always used this product. I've planted this variety or hybrid for 5 years. It's been a great one. I don't want to go away from it. So you've got that group that has like a comfort level that you have a little bit different discussion when you're trying to convince them to try something new. And then you've got a group that's willing to try the latest because they're willing to take a chance. Like Chris said earlier, hey, if I know I'm going to get my return in Vegas and I know I can win when I go to the table, well, of course I'm going to bet because I know I can win. So, you know, there's a lot to think about on that one. And I think it just goes back to just an individual person. And I think for a dealer or a grower, it goes back to that person you're working with. If you really consider that person a trusted advisor and you're going to listen to what they tell you, and like Chris said, there's data out there. And again, there's data on everything, but the products that we sell through Legend and YMS, we put in our own plots. So we test those products, and there are with dealers, there's plot days that, you know, dealers are invited to look at that. And I think a lot of it is just maybe some visual, just seeing exactly how this product works and looks. And that, I think, is an advantage that Legend and Yieldmaster Solutions has, because we do that ourselves. We don't just take the manufacturer's word for this is the best product, this is the highest yielding hybrid of corn. We actually put those in plots and test those before our selection committee ever brings them into our portfolio. So absolutely, I think that's important.
Yep. Yes. Good points there, Stacy. Thanks for sharing that. And I do know that it is a gamble, just like going to Vegas, being a farmer, because you can't control the market prices. You can't control the weather. And tracking all of this and keeping yourself accountable, keeping a track record, making sure your balance sheet is up to date. There's all processes in there that are intimidating, but there are easier ways to just keep on track with these things. And there's all kinds of apps and different tracking systems, and there's a lot of management tools to be able to use. And I will just say that we use very, very simple Excel spreadsheet that I use that has been working for 5 years. So I'll keep doing it. I mean, unless our business grows exponentially, but there are larger businesses, larger operations than ours that do use different ways to track and keep a balance sheet going throughout the year, which is important. I mean, Stacy, you manage the balance sheet and you've seen it firsthand. But down to the grower level too, I'll let both of you kind of touch on this. How do those balance sheets, how is the importance of keeping a balance sheet updated ultimately help make financial decisions? I hope I'm asking that question that makes sense. And Chris, maybe I'll have you go first on, we'll start kind of at the lower level of, or the lowest, just the level of down to the grower level.
Yep.
The importance of keeping track of those finances.
Yeah, and I think it goes beyond just the finance, because if the yield's not coming in, the finances won't necessarily be there. So, I mean, I think just really tracking your own yield maps and your own input tracking. So like that cost per bushel, we were talking a little before we jumped on, just like you know, the highest yielding hybrid or variety isn't always your most profitable hybrid. So you really have to look at what was the cost? What did I do on that field for fertility? What did I have to, you know, side dress because it was looking ill early on? What was the overall input? And then what was the yield? So, and that's really hard to track just by looking at one form of climate or any type of a farm management software. So you really almost have to have your own where you really dive in at the end of the year and say, hey, which hybrid was the most profitable? Because I think we're all guilty of it. We say, oh, this one did the best and that was my most profitable. But you forget that that might have been a $500 bag of corn. And the one that was $350 maybe was only five bushels behind it. Well, when you do the math, that $350 bag of corn was actually more profitable. So yes, it is extremely important to track your data and track your yields and your inputs. And what did you all put on that? Did you put a biological on the acre that actually produced better? But did you get enough, like I was talking before, did you get enough yield to offset the cost of that biological, you know? So there's just a lot to look at. Now, when you step up into the dealership side of things, I think inventory management is extremely important. Shelf lives. I mean, some of our biologicals have a one-year shelf life, but most of our portfolio now has a 2 or 3 year shelf life. But if you have any of that 1 year shelf life, make sure those are the ones that you're pushing out the door first and make sure that they get put in the ground and make, you know, follow up to make sure they're used. And you know, just making sure at the end of the year, you don't have a bunch of returns, following up with guys. Hey, did you get that planted? You know, so that you don't have surprises after sales season where a guy says, oh, I got two boxes of corn. I used the other dealer's corn instead, you know, so just tracking that stuff so that you can manage your inventory so that you're not stuck with surprises at the end of the year. And then just sales dashboards, you know, who bought last year and are they historically early payers? I should probably go see them first, but this guy is, you know, always ordering after the first of the year. Don't just say, well, he always orders after the first of the year. I'm going to wait till after the first of the year. He might be one of the guys you want to go see first so that the neighboring dealer doesn't go down his driveway with a better deal than you. And you just assume that every year that he's going to order in February. Well, you don't know. Did he, you know, sell some land and he doesn't have as many acres, so he just wants to get the decision made earlier. You don't know what's changed in their farming practice. So always go see everyone early and then make them put the ball in their court to tell you that you should come back later versus just that speculation of, you know what, the last 3 years he's bought in March. I'm not going to talk to him till March, you know? So those kind of sales dashboards, monitoring that, when did guys buy? When should I go see them? What is my best cash discount and that type of thing? So yeah, I think tracking on both the data side and the sales side is extremely important.
Stacey, what's your thoughts on that same question, but to the higher level on your side of the balance sheet?
Sure. Well, I'm going to start off with the lower level and work it to the higher level, Shelby, because I got a little story to go with it, but I had a customer client when I worked at the CPA firm, and super, super nice guy, old farmer. And he would literally, my first year there, he brought in his receipts in a Folgers coffee can with the yellow lid with the year written on top. And he keeps his receipts in the coffee can. He told me, Stacy, he goes, I go, how do you know what you spent for the year? And he goes, if my checkbook has money in it, I can buy it. If it doesn't have any money in there, I'm not buying it. And you go from that to where, like, you're at today with today's farms. There's a lot of bigger farming out there. And I guess I see it even around here and where I grew up, that the small farmer, the small family farms are kind of fewer and far between. It's all merging into bigger farming. And as you get bigger, you know, you go from keeping track of things in a Folgers coffee can to doing it on a ledger paper or like a notebook. And then Shelby, you mentioned that you keep track of your expenses on an Excel spreadsheet, which is a step up from doing it from pen and paper, right? Then you see that, you know, the importance of knowing, especially with, again, and I think agriculture is a very unpredictable unpredictable, volatile industry where there are so many factors, commodity prices, and so many things that affect that. And also weather, where we live up here in the Midwest. I mean, our weather here, you know, we're 90 degrees and then 2 days later, it's 34 degrees in the morning. I mean, the weather changes is so unpredictable. What you get for rain, the effect on crops and everything. I see more people using a software. And again, I'm not going to mention any names, but there's accounting software out there. Basically, I'll call them glorified checkbooks to track your expenses, to track your income and things like that, to where I've even started to see a lot of, you'll see services where accounting firms offer bookkeeping services to help you with your monthly bookkeeping and things like that. And I've seen it with not just row crop farmers, but dairy farmers, hog farmers, whatever, where they want a better handle on what my financial position is. So, you know, if you get to be in that large end one, it's worth it for them to spend the money to hire a bookkeeper so I know exactly where I'm at, or to use a bookkeeping service like a CPA firm that offers that, or a bookkeeping firm. So that's kind of what I've seen it progress in. And again, I just think with the way things have changed so much in the last, you know, 10 or 15 years, I don't think doing it in the coffee can works anymore for people. But like I said, sweetest guy I ever worked with, super nice. But I think really important would be to have some kind of a step up maybe from Excel, is just have an accounting software. I'll throw a name out there. We all know QuickBooks. Everybody's heard of it. But there's a lot more on the market now that offer the same things QuickBooks does, and utilize that. Because I think it's important to know, more so than just at the end of the year, I think it's important to track your finances and where you're at least quarterly, if not monthly, especially if you're in more than one segment of farming, you know, especially those that are like doing row crops, but maybe they've got a dairy farm. You know, there's a lot of expenses associated with that. And I think just having some kind of help to track all that and know that at least quarterly, if not monthly, I think is very important today.
Absolutely. 100%. Well, thank you both. I know you guys are busy. You both have very large filled schedules. So I don't want to keep you for any more time, but we could have gone a lot more different directions in this conversation, but I appreciate your time. And this is something I think that's a very important topic for everyone, like every tier that we've talked about today, between down to the grower level, up to the dealership level and a business level, and up to the an actual seed company's level, was very insightful. So I appreciate your guys's time today, and I hope that we can have another conversation in the future too about, you know, maybe the next step of actually, you know, talking to a grower and seeing their insights on this as an option. But is there anything else you guys wanted to touch on today, or is there any questions that I forgot to ask?
No, I'm just thankful for the opportunity, and you know, a very timely conversation, you know, because this is a decision that just about every grower and dealer is facing right now. Do I invest now to get the best cash discounts, or do I wait till maybe a middle of the road discount and see a little bit more of what the fall is going to bring for yields? But, you know, I think we covered it multiple times that paying early and getting those big cash discounts that secure a good cash throughout the whole year. So like Stacy hit on it, you know where your cost of goods are all the way through planting of next year. That's a good feeling to have.
Absolutely. Stacy, is there anything else you wanted to share?
Yeah, I would just add for our dealers and our growers, you know, that our account managers have some pretty good tools through Excel that kind of show some comparisons out there. And, you know, as a dealer, ask for help, because I'm sure our account managers would be more than happy to sit down with you and show you like the different products, and if you use a cash discount by paying it, or if you finance it, what that difference to your bottom line is just on your purchasing your seed. So I would just take advantage of, as a dealer or a grower, you know, utilize some of the resources that your account manager within Legend and YMS has, and just ask them for help. I mean, I'm sure they'd be more than willing to sit down with you and go over pricing and go over what your final cost on your inputs of those seed and biological products could be.
Absolutely. Thank you, Stacy. Well, thank you both for joining me. And until next time, I want everyone to stay sharp, stay safe, and everyone hopefully have a bountiful harvest. But we'll be seeing you out in the field. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Shelby.
Thanks.